Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray.
Once again, tuned into Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, and tonight we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, who will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. He always shares with us inspirational poems first. He's going to do the same thing on tonight, and he's going to go into God's word afterwards. So I'm asking all the listeners, as I always do, and especially for the first-time listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along as we go through God's word together with Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. We always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, if you would touch and agree with me as we approach God's throne on tonight, that we will all be on one accord, that God will hear and answer all of our prayers in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come now, your sons and daughters, who are believers in your Son, Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We come together on one accord, touching and agreeing that you are God all by yourself. You are God alone. You are the great I am. You are the most high God. We come to you thanking you for who and all that you are on tonight. We thank you that your booklet allowed us to wake up early this morning, clothed and in our right minds. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We don't take it lightly or for granted. We thank you that you've allowed us to wake up and see this another day that you have made. For this, we are grateful in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we come asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, from the oldest to the youngest on both sides of my family. Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, and not only us, but all of those that are doers of the word, those that are saved in Jesus' name, Deacon Marvin Cox, and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins of transgression, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain, and that way we can continue to move forward and fulfill our God purposes in the earth that will give you glory, honor, and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Heavenly Father, we come touching and agreeing, realizing, knowing that you are the healer. So we ask that you will move by your Spirit, continue to touch and heal and strengthen my first cousin, Ken Hogue. Heavenly Father, we have had surgery. We ask that you will continue to touch and strengthen his body. Continue to strengthen my cousin, Mary Ann. Continue to strengthen my twin sister, Jeanette Jones, and my sister, Gert, and every one of my sisters and brothers in my family. And, oh, God, I just thank you for a praise report on my own behalf that you've allowed me to go to emergency on last Saturday and come back with a good report that it was not cancer again. But I just thank you for that in the name of Jesus, because we do know that you are the healer. So not only for us, but touch, heal, and deliver and strengthen all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. I lift up Prophetess Sherry Walker-Shy's father, Heavenly Father, who had to be rushed to the hospital this morning. We pray, Lord, that you will move by your Spirit, touch and strengthen his body, have your way in his life, that you would get the glory in the name of Jesus. Continue to strengthen her, that she would continue to be the daughter that you have called for her to be, caregiver for her father, that she would be strengthened as she take care of him, that you would continue to get the glory. We continue to lift up Pastor Carlos. We continue to lift up Overseer Joseph E. Jackson in Washington, D.C. Continue to touch and strengthen his body in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I lift up my twin sister, Jeanette Jones, regarding her eyes on tonight, that she's going to be healed, delivered, and set free, and that she would not lose her sight, and that she will be able to get the cataracts removed. Heavenly Father, that her sight would be restored like never before, that she would be able to give you glory, honor, and praise, and share her testimony that it's you who have healed her as well in the name of Jesus. And, oh, God, we can come and lifting up all those that have agreed on tonight. I lift up Pastor Cassandra Ford and her entire family. We saw in the news yesterday where the security guard was shot and killed at the mental health center on yesterday, and kind of found out this morning that was one of her nephews, Pastor Cassandra Ford, a member of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. Continue to strengthen her and her entire family, and also Deaconess Jackie Davenport and that entire family, as she had made her transition to be with you. And her husband had made his heavenly transition on last month, so now she has made her heavenly transition also. So now we pray and lift up the Davenport family, the Rambis family, and all those that have lost loved ones all over the land, the people of Ukraine that have lost loved ones, even some of the Russians that have lost loved ones, some of the soldiers in the Russian army, in the military, that have lost their lives due to this unprovoked war. Continue to comfort and strengthen all those families in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that your word will go forth with power on tonight. And before we go any further, we don't want to forget to say thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, we ask that you will move by your Spirit on tonight, that your word will go forth with power, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word in the name of Jesus Christ. So we just love you, Heavenly Father. We thank you that the blood of Jesus still works, and it will never lose its power. We thank you, Father, risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, your Son, Jesus the Christ. So now, Lord, we ask that you will continue to help us to decrease so that you may increase in each one of us individually, and that as a corporate body of believers. And I continue to lift up my new pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark Holloway, and the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church of Hopper Woods, Michigan. Continue to bless us and use us individually as a corporate body of believers, that you will get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And it comes to us saying, forgiving people in silence and never speaking to them again sometimes is a form of self-care for your sake. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Forgiving people in silence and never speaking to them again sometimes is a form of self-care for your sake. I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note that I do not own the copyright to any music or songs played over this worldwide ministry platform. But we get ready to go to our music break. And once again, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as you get ready to deliver another word from the Lord and share God's word with us on tonight. But if you're ready to see for yourself what thus says the Lord, we don't want to ever have anyone to take it lightly or for granted or ever think that we're making up things as we go. That's why the Lord said in his word, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So that's why it's so important to have your own Bible so that you can follow along as the word of God goes forth. So we're going to go to our music break right now. Then we're going to come back. Then we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem, as he always does. Then he's going to go directly into God's word. Enjoy the music break. Praise the Lord on tonight. That was a musical version of the song titled Pray For Me. The word of God said the fervent prayers of the righteous, guess what? It still availeth much. So right now we're ready to receive the awesome man of God on tonight. Once again, Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank the Lord for once again allowing me to come before him, as well as to come before you and bring forth his word. There's no explaining the joy that I have in being able to do. But in the meantime, I know that I have to do the things that he asked me to do. So it's not easy, because there's always a challenge that's going to come forth that's going to prevent us or try to prevent us from doing God's will. Now, that being said, the Lord has prepared on his table for us tonight, something that we all can identify with. And the poem that he gave me tonight is, be careful of what you ask for. Be careful of what you ask for in your search for validation. The consequences of your request can lead to much frustration. Everyone has one, so please give us a king. But he became our taskmaster, and we couldn't do anything. The things that he did, he made us scream and shout. The way he treated us, a king we could do without. Lord, give me a husband. Lord, I need a wife. But the little time I spent with them were the worst years of my life. Lord, I need a new car to get from point A to point B. But the price of gasoline, insurance, and my condo are truly killing me. You told me in your words, seek and I shall find, ask and I shall receive. But what are the things I'm asking for, causing my heart to grieve? He said, when you asked for a king, you didn't ask for one who was fair. You just wanted a king, just to have one there. When you asked for that husband, when you asked for that wife, you didn't ask for one who wouldn't cause you toil and strife. If you want a marriage to last and reach longevity, you should have asked for someone who truly feared me. When you ask for a new car, which took you more than you make to maintain, and now that you can't keep up with the note, you foolishly complain. You wanted a new car because of your pride, when all you had to ask me for was a cheaper, dependable ride. I would gladly give you these things if to me you will submit, but the things that people give the most trouble in life are the requests that they omit. Amen. I'm going to immediately go into tonight's lesson. I'll be reading to you from the book of Luke from the King James Version, the 15th chapter, from the 11th verse down to the 32nd verse. And it reads, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger was gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and it began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and hither the fatted calf and kill it, and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive, who was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to his house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him unto safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came the father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as this day that son has came, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It would meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. I give credit to you from the gospel as recorded by St. Luke, 15th chapter, verses 11 through 32. And may the Lord have blessed the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may edify our soul forever. Amen.
Amen.
The reason I took time out to read the whole scripture, because it's a message in there. And this is a passage of scripture that a lot of us are familiar with. It's concerning the prodigal son. And so our topic for tonight is be careful of what you ask for. I don't know whether that's amen. Lord, have the blessing to reading, hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may edify our souls forever. Amen. Now the 12th verse of the 15th chapter of St. Luke, and it reads, and the younger of them said to his father, father, give me the portion of goods, and he divided unto them his labor. Now if we were to translate that and say, be careful of what you ask for, no doubt this young man had plans. He no longer felt that he wanted to be up under the jurisdiction of his father. So he boldly went to his father, and in the saying of J.G. Wentworth, he went to his father. He said, it's my money, and I want it now. He told his father, he said, give this to me, father. I seen your medical report, Dad. The life expectancy is, you know, you're going to live for another 100 years. I can't wait that long to go out there and sue a while, though. Dad, I'm not trying to wish you to be dead or nothing like that, but I just can't wait that long. I'm a young man. I need to go out there and test the world and see what the world is all about. So he said, I would feel better if you were to run me my cheddar. Father, give this money to me, because I know that you're a fair man. I know that you're a man of integrity. He said, so we can work this deal out. So it says that the father gave it to him, and he divided it, his living. That's between the younger boy and the older son. And I'm just saying, we got to be careful of what we ask for, because first of all, this young man did not work, not for one penny. And I'm starting off with money tonight, because we seem to think that money is the answer to all our problems. He said, give me my money. It's my money, and I want it now. And then he went, and he partied hardy. He said he had, you know, riotous living. It does not specify how long it took him to get broke, but I can imagine that he was good time Charlie. He was living in the best ends. He was making it rain in the harem, as they put it. He was a big man on campus. So he asked for this. But see, I'm here to tell you tonight that with every blessing that God gives us, it's an obligation to maintain that blessing. And we see we're dealing with the permissive will of God, because sometimes we ask for things and God knows that we're not ready for these things. He knows that we are not mature enough to handle these things. But quite naturally, any father, when it comes down to his son or his children, we sometimes give them things that we know that they're not ready for. And so, let's say this young man went and he had a good time, but does not specify how much he had, but whatever it was, he, you know, he was the life of the party. He said, the party don't start until I get here. But then, way after a while, let's say his dad does not specify how long it took him to get broke, but he did get broke. And then when he got broke, it said no man would give unto him. So that money that he asked for, that money that he so brutally demanded from his dad, became his taskmaster. It became something that he let slip through his hand. So a lot of times, as I said, we start off with money, because, as I said, we feel that that is the answer to our problems. And once we get it, then we get amnesia. We forget about, well, I'm supposed to give some of this back to God. And we might say, well, God gave it to me, so, hey, you know, he gave this to me, so I'm keeping it. We forget to assemble ourselves in the house of prayer. So this young man, he fell on, as I say, on extremely hard times. And then he went from CEO down to the mail room. He became a citizen. He had to be hired. And so what they did is that his employer gave him the worst possible job that a young Jew could have at that particular time. He's the swine. And so the pods, they said that the pods that he was feeding the swine, they began to look like an appetizer for him. But then all of a sudden he remembered, because see, that was way beneath a Jew's dignity to deal with swine in any type of way. But he had fell on hard times. Remember, we can't be careful with what you ask for, because what you ask for might put you into that position that it becomes your taskmaster. It begins to tell you what to do. You lose friendship. And all those fake friends that he had, he couldn't find none. Why? Because they were parasites and leeches. And we know that a parasite or a leech, they live off of the host. And then when the host is deplete of money, when they deplete of blood, they would drain you dry. And that's the purpose of, that's a main purpose in life, to drain you dry. And I can imagine this young man being like MC Hammer. He had a whole entourage with him. And they call him hanger-ons. But then after he began to disperse this, his funds that his father gave him, then he found out that he was lonely. He was destitute. He was hungry. Now, that's a toxic combination. And God's word says that no man would give unto him. So we have to be careful, my brothers and my sisters, of that which we ask for. Because that which we ask for can most certainly turn around and ruin our life. Could turn around and make us go insane because we had it, but we lost it. And we don't see no way that we could reobtain it. Why? Because we were foolish. We were inconsiderate. We began to do the things that the world was demanding for us to do. But see, that world is waiting out there. Just like for that young man, we have to be extra careful. I'm going to give you a few examples, then I'm going to get back in the Word by reading to you from the book of Samuel. Now, there are a lot of lonely women out there, a lot of lonely men. And their desire is, Lord, send me a wife. Lord, send me a husband. But in the poem that was previously read for you, we got to be careful of the things that we omit. When we ask for these things, and as we're saying, as I was reading certain things to you, we got to be careful because those are the things when we leave God out. We leave God out of our request. Then it becomes a burden unto us. See, you say, okay, you want a wife? I'll give you a wife. You want a husband? I'll give you a husband. But then once we get these things, we find out that one thing that we left out, Lord, I need a wife who fears you, who loves you, who keep you first. Because I know if she take care of you or that husband, I know if he loves you, then his love for me is going to fall in line because he's going to be ruled and governed by his love for you. He's not going to mistreat me. He's not going to be an adulterer. He's not going to say and do things that cause my heart to grieve. So we have to be careful of what we ask for. We have to be careful to the extent that sometimes we ask for the right things, but we ask for these things because of the wrong reasons. We ask for these things because we feel in our hearts and our minds that these things would validate us as an individual. In other words, many things that I ask the Lord for, and I wasn't ready for it. And if you notice, that which God is in, it runs on. That which he is not in, it runs out. So we have to keep him first. We have to, when we have these requests, say, Lord, you gave it to me, but I'm going to give it back to you. Lord, you gave me these children, Lord, so I'm going to give them back to you. You're their dad. I know that you know what to do. And I know you know how to handle them because sometimes the drama in life can be so overwhelming. But, you know, I always wanted a big family. But now it's too much money at the end of the money that I cannot keep up with these bills. These kids, they went contrary. These kids is demanding things that my paycheck can no longer afford. So we have to be careful to say sometimes we might even have spiritual requests. But there's nothing wrong with have wanting a wife or wanting a husband. But then we have to have one that God has chosen for us. You know, Big Leg Maybell, you know, she's pretty, but she is not the one for me. So I'm going for the one that's got the looks. I'm going for the one that I think has the money. So we have to be extra careful. Now we're going to move right on down here to the book of Samuel, the 8th chapter, right around the 8th verse. And it reads, the book of 1 Samuel. And it's talking about when the people wanted a king. All right, now we're going to start at the fourth verse, the First Samuel, the eighth chapter, the fourth verse, and we're going to read down until the Lord gets his message across, that we got to be careful of what we ask for. So Israel, the subtitle on this is Israel asked for a king. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Okay, we're going to stop right there for a minute. Now, they say that Samuel's sons, I'll put it this way, they were not worthy to rule over the people of Israel. So they demanded, they said, give us a king. But Samuel said, you know not what you asked. You're not ready for a king. Be careful of what you ask for. But it said, no, we want a king. So Samuel was displeased with that, with their request. So he took it to his father. So the father told him, he said, wait a minute now, I'm running this. He said, you give them what they asked for. Even though what they asked for, he said, don't you take Samuel, please, sir, don't you take this personal. He said, because what they doing, they offended me. In verse number, he said that they are, you know, they are offending me. So, you Samuel, I'll tell you what, you give them what they want. And see, I'm bringing this forth because sometimes in our life, we feel that there's certain things that we have to have in order for us to be validated. And I know back in the 60s, the Temptations song, they came out with a song, Don't Let the Joneses Get You Down. And the song was basically talking about how the Jones family, they had everything. They were doing well. But then they were reminding the people, hey, don't let the materialistic possessions of others, don't let that get you caught up into a trap. You didn't notice that Mr. Jones or Ms. Jones, they work in two jobs. Mm-hmm. And they just barely keeping up with the expenses. So we have to be careful what we ask for. In verse number 7, it said, And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Remember, I was telling you earlier that which God is in, it will run on. That which it is not in will run out. So they rejected. Mm-hmm. And once again, I say they asked for these things, but they left the most important one out. They left God out. And so it says, according to thy works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and have served other gods, so do they also unto thee. So this is a perfect example that people get amnesia on God. And they get amnesia in such a way they forget. You know, they were about to panic, and they panicked because, first of all, they panicked because they thought Moses was leading them into a death trap. But see, if they think about where they left from, they would say, okay, well, anything is better than where we just come from. their soul says, they have forsaken me and served other gods. So do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them that the manner king that shall reign over them. Now this is beautiful, because God has given us a warning. That's like when our children come to us, say, you ain't ready for that. And then it seems like they think that we're trying to talk them out of whatever it is that they want to do. But all we're just trying to do is just give them a warning. Hey, it's not like you think it is. How you going to go from my house where you're paying zero rent and go to an $800 a month apartment? You need to think about that. It says, now therefore hearken unto their voice, albeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the master, the manner of the king, that they shall reign over them. So it was saying, God was telling Samuel, okay, since they won't listen to you, since their mind is made up, I want you to give them a preview of coming attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 10 says, Samuel told all the people all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of a king, him of a king. And he said, this will be the manner of king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over 50, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariot. Oh, sound like, I don't want to get political, but it sounds almost like that, almost sound like the king of the north, Mr. Putin. And he would take your daughters to be his confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Wait a minute, hold on. And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, and give to his officers, and to his servants. Wait a minute, now, wow, it sounds like this king ain't no good. You got to warn about that. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. Wait a minute now. Hold on. That's even worse than the Internal Revenue right there. And he shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen. Okay, listen to this. Which ye shall have chosen.
That's
and the
right.
Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, no, that's okay, we cool. But we will have a king over us. See, sometimes the things that people put up with in order to be validated, because all the nations around Israel at that time, they had a king.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we just have to wait on the Lord, wait for that proper time. You know, I catch the bus. I've been catching the bus 12 years. I catch the bus a little while longer until the Lord pick out an automobile for me. He said, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, not, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations. See that validation? And that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battle. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto them, the men of Israel, go ye every man to the city. Now, as I said, how many times after repeated warnings family members or people that we love, and we warned them. Said, no, you don't want to fool with that. You know, you can't afford that car. Leave that alone. Leave that man's wife alone. But then they said, the main ingredients, I just don't want to be lonely. Mm-hmm. But being lonely means that you got peace of mind. What's wrong with being lonely? If lonely means that you have stableness in your household, that you don't have to worry about when Mike Tyson come in, whether he's going to turn over the furniture or he'll turn you over and kick the dog, we don't have to worry about that. So sometimes we substitute that, which is peaceful. My brothers and my sisters, be careful with what you ask for. Because, as I said, a lot of times we ask for the right thing, but we ask for it for the wrong reason. You know, give us a king because everybody else had one. Now, if you think about that, that's one of the silliest things that we could ever ask for. You know, now I'm working in the office building and everybody married but me, or a woman working there, everybody married but her. Lord, I feel so left out. But she got the best husband in the world, which is Christ Jesus. He got the best of everything, which is Christ Jesus. Now, we have to be careful because, see, those things that we omit, we got to think outside the box. We have to say to ourselves, Lord, I want a wife, Lord, but I need a wife who's going to love you, who's going to treat me fair, who's not going to run around, who's not going to cause my heart to ache. Likewise, women, a lot of things we ask for, and then soon we get it. What we have, they call it buyer's remorse. 100 times people bought a car, and then soon as they get it, you know, it's running good, but soon as they get it off the lot, and this is no offense to anybody, but soon as they get it off the lot, it gets the knocking lock of Jehovah's Witness. So we have to think about these things because, see, people will fruit things up. And see, the people in Samuel's day, they were warned about these things. They were warned that, hey, he's going to take this from you. He's going to take that from you. He's going to use you. He's going to put you into slavery. But they victims of what is known as the Stockholm Syndrome, whereas people fall in love with their captive, where they begin to think because you spared them the atrocities that you love them. But this king that Samuel was telling the people, children of Israel, about, said, this dude is terrible. And he even said, my son will be thicker than my daddy's thigh. So in other words, y'all in for some trouble. Since y'all, you know, since this is what you want, you know, dramatic say what you see is what you get. So I'm going to move right over here to Matthew, the 7th chapter, starting at the 7th verse. And it says, and it shall ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Oh, that man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he has fish, will he give him a serpent? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I see, that's where us Christians make that biggest mistake. Because we go to this, Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 7th verse, and say, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. But see, we have to understand that these things are the things that in accordance with God's will. Because God does not want to give you anything that's going to harm you. Not don't want to give you anything that's going to bring grief to you. But as I said, when we deal with his permissive will, he will allow
that's right.
these things to happen. Why? Because in the first part of the stuff, Samuel, the 8th chapter, right around the 5th verse, it was saying, okay, hey, they rejected me. They didn't, God wasn't nowhere in their plans. So if you're going to ask for something, be careful what you ask for. But whatever you ask for, make sure that it's godly. And see, as I say, sometimes you can read something and you say, wow, God, all I got to do is ask him. But see, I have to live up to my spiritual obligation before God is in compliance with those things that I wish for. And he went so far to say that a father, because see, a father will meet the needs of his family, but sometimes, I know the wife told our children a long time ago, hey, I'll get you what you need. I can't afford to give you what you want. You know, I can't afford to buy no $200 and $300 gym shoes. I'm going to get you a pair of boom booms. You know, when you start, you go boom, boom. So sometimes we don't think. Sometimes we don't put things in their proper perspective. But my brothers and my sisters, I'm just saying to you to see when the blood is running warm in your veins, be careful with what you ask for. And make sure that whatever it is that you ask for is on the spiritual side. Because it wasn't meant for all of us to ride around in Cadillac cars. It wasn't meant for all of us to live into that in that house on the hill. Because once I said it, every blessing has an obligation to maintain that blessing. And when God bless you, like the young man's father and Luke, but see, his father was full of love. And see, sometimes once you leave out your mama's door, your daddy's door, say, hey, don't you come back here.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a loving father. He had a forgiving father. And we have a loving and forgiving father. So whatever it is that we ask for, make sure that's in accordance with God's law, his rules, his regulation. Don't ask for something just because somebody else got it. That's what the children of Israel did. They wanted a king. They asked for a king, and they ruled the day. They regretted the day that they asked.
Because
why? They left God out. So mm-hmm. may God bless you and may ever keep you. And I'll turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Deacon Mother Cox. I just love how you break the word down. You make it plain where everybody can understand it and understand the word. It's almost like you are doing a parable like Jesus did. You're presenting a story where everybody can see it and get the message. So that's what you have done again on tonight. So out of all that getting, the word of God says get understanding. And so you have made it plain and clear that we have received this word on tonight. So we thank God for you. Thank God for this word that has gone forth. Someone needed to hear this word on tonight. Be careful what you ask for. And that applies to all of us, seasoned saints, new babes in Christ alike, whether you are a pastor, whether you are a bishop or a prophetess or whatever your position or title may be, we still have to be careful what we ask for. And we, when we do that, we need to make sure that God is in the plan, that God is involved, and that God approves of whatever we're asking for that's going to give him some mm-hmm. glory, and it's not going to take us away from God, and he's not going to help us to get caught up into the things of the world that the enemy would have a field day with our lives. So we thank God for this word on tonight. So right now I am opening up the phone lines once again on tonight for anyone that has dialed in on tonight And if you're listening and you want to you may have a question for Deacon Robert pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give them words of encouragement, this is your opportunity to do so. The phone lines are open. Anyone? I'm sure I was not the only one that was blessed by this word.
Yes. Brother James, can you hear me?
Yes.
I come in on the tail end of your message, Deacon Cox, but I want to continue to give you words of encouragement, my brother. Continue, man. You know, letting God use you, man, because I know every time when I do hear you from the beginning or somewhat more than a night, I always get detailed, you know, instructions from your message. Cause, I mean, like James said, clear message, man. That's what's needed right now. So I want to just continue to encourage Paul. Paul said you must edify the comfort, man. So I'm just trying to give you your words of encouragement tonight. Say, continue on, my brother. God bless you.
Okay, thank you so much, my brother. Thank you so much.
That was Pastor Norman King, Deacon Cox. Anyone else would like to share words with Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight? Anyone else on the line?
I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina. Mary King. And I appreciate that service. You did a real good job.
Thank you, ma'am.
Amen. Well, that was Pastor Norman King's sister, my first cousin as well, Mr. Marianne King, from Greensboro, North Carolina, Deacon Marvin Cox. So we just thank God for you, Deacon Cox, and just like my cousin, Pastor Norman King, said, we are to always encourage one another in God's word. We are to always be trying to find ways to lift our sisters and brothers up in Christ so that they can move forward in what God has called and ordained them to do. They will continue to give God glory, honor, and praise. And you have done that again on tonight, even through your poems. Like Sister Gwen Walker said, she is always inspired by the poems that you share with us. And I'm saying the same thing on tonight. So you continue to be encouraged. You continue to allow the Lord to use you because he has yet more for you to do. He's not through with you yet. The best for you is still yet to come. As long as they go for me, you, Pastor Norman King, my cousin Mary Ann, and anyone else that's listening to this message on tonight, God has more in store for us. As long as we continue to stay faithful to God and we don't put men or things of the world before God, God has more in store for us that's going to continue to give him glory, honor, and praise. So continue to be blessed, Deacon Mother Carson. We once again thank you for sharing this powerful word on tonight. If it has not gone out void, someone besides myself, as you have just heard, have received this word on tonight that God is being glorified. So it's not in vain. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come once again on tonight giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. Bless your name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for you opening doors that now prisoners around the world, around the United States, are able to hear your word. They have an opportunity now to hear your word, and not just hear your word, but to receive your word and have a chance to be saved in Jesus' name after hearing your word, and have a chance to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts and save them, even though they may be incarcerated behind prison bars, that you still have a purpose and plan for their lives, that you can still use them even behind prison bars. And once they are released back into society, you can use them even more for your glory. Well, thank you, Heavenly Father, for Deacon Marvin Cox. Thank you for your word that has gone forth with power on tonight. Thank you that your word has been received by every listener on tonight. We thank you for who and all that you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, your Son, Jesus the Christ. Thank you that he died. He rose with all power in heaven and earth in his hands, and he's now sitting at your right hand, making intercession for the sins of God. Now, Heavenly Father, we don't want to forget. We want to continue to lift up Pastor Cassandra Ford, who her nephew was shot and killed on his job as a security guard at work on yesterday. He has a wife and two children and another child on the way. So continue to comfort Pastor Cassandra Ford and her and that entire family. We continue to lift up Prophetess Sherry Walker Shy out of Conyers, Georgia, that he's her father's caregiver, and he had to be rushed to the hospital on today, this morning. So continue to strengthen him, continue to bless her, and we pray that your will be done in his life, that he would get the glory. We also continue to lift up Deaconess Jackie Davenport's family. Her husband made his heavenly transition on last month, and this month she made her heavenly transition, so we know that they are back together again now. So continue to comfort and strengthen the Davenport family and the Davenport family and the people of Ukraine that have lost loved ones, even those Russians in the army of the Russian army that have lost their lives due to this unprovoked war. Continue to families that they have lost loved ones. And Father, all over the land, those that have lost loved ones for whatever reason, continue to comfort and strengthen them as only you can in the name of Jesus. We continue to lift up my sister Jeanette, that she will not lose her eyesight, that the cataracts will be removed, and they will be removed properly, and that she will maintain her eyesight, and even better, that she will continue to give you glory, honor, and praise, knowing that you are the healer in the name of Jesus. Thank you for sparing my sister, Heavenly Father, Sunday. She put her hand in the garbage disposal, not realizing that it was on because she's hard of hearing. You already know that. But thank you, Jesus, that she did not lose her hand. She could have, but it was you who have spared her and saved her hand. So we just give you the glory, honor, and praise for that as well. And everything, we give you thanks, glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit, continue to bless your people as we continue to be doers of your word, faithful doers of your word, and not just hearers only. Continue to bless my new pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark Holloway, my new church family, Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, that we will be the people of God that you have called and ordained for each one of us to be, not only us, but every saved believer. Continue to bless us and use us for your glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, know that I love you, but guess what? Realize and know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. We're going to close out tonight with our opening song, War, This Means War. We're going to close out tonight with that same song on tonight because we are in a spiritual war. It's the spiritual warfare that we are experiencing, that we are seeing, that we're going through. But with God, we know that we have the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Until this coming Saturday, be blessed of the Lord.